what it is.
This is
the Macho Man Randy Savage.
And this is
Hard Factor. And there is no one that does it better.
Right now, yeah.
Nobody does it better.
I ain't repeating myself. Go ahead, tell me something right now.
Yeah, and I'm living in a nightmare.
And I'm not a racist. And I'm always cheering. Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to another episode of Hard Factor. It is Wednesday, June 12th.
Welcome to another episode of Hard Factor. It is June 12th, 2019. Will may have already said that in his intro, but he's off tonight. So redundancy is...
well, redundant.
It's redundant. Mark's going to take a story about Kim Jong-un's weird half-brother.
Yeah, Kim Jong-un killed his snitch CIA brother.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Shit. And then Wes and I are going to take you through a real quick lightning round. Take it away, Mark.
I bet you guys have been wondering what the hell happened with Kim Jong-un's brother, Kim Jong-nam.
Not at all.
In 2017, am I right?
I know he was murdered in an airport.
Well, but don't you want to know more?
These guys got to get more original names. They just all name them the sons similar names to the other sons.
Well, it's easy.
That's what my family does. Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. It's true. Very true. Minus the dictatorship.
Wes, are you? One,
minus the
two?
Wealth and dictatorship.
Mm-hmm. Wes, seven, get over here. You clearly remember that he was assassinated by two women who got within touching distance of his face in a Malaysian airport, as Wes mentioned, in 2017, right?
Mm-hmm. Were they hot ladies?
I thought they were, but Wes corrected me. I didn't see the video. Apparently, they didn't need to be because they came up behind him. I thought they came up in front of him and were like, Kim Jong-nam, you're so handsome.
And sneak attack from behind.
No, it was, they were just assassins.
You ever seen a hot lady sneak up on someone? It doesn't happen.
No. They don't need to.
They approach you from the front.
That's the best way.
Right where your eyes are.
No. Yeah.
Well, they know what they're doing.
You're exactly right. I was thinking the other way. Hot women, you can see from behind because you can sense the hotness.
Well,
women are invisible from the front.
If you were...
Anyways, well, it turns out maybe he deserved it, as Kim Jong-nam, half-brother of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, was a CIA informant, a.k.a. a huge motherfucking snitch.
Hold on. Yeah? A CIA informant, that's good for us. He's on our team.
Look, whether it's good for us or not, he's still a huge motherfucking snitch.
Snitch to his bro, for sure.
What, is Kim Jong-un supposed to be like, oh, it's good for U.S.?
Yeah. Well, no, we are supposed to be like that. It's good for U.S.
I can still call him a snitch.
Okay, fine.
Kim Jong-nam, the late North Korean dictator Kim Jong-il's eldest son, apparently met on several occasions with agency operatives, according to a report from the Wall Street Journal. Also, the Snitch Journal, is what I'm calling it.
Don't call it that.
They cited a person knowledgeable about the matter as their source. So that person was not able to comment because he's been eaten by piranhas.
Mm-hmm. What a qualifier the Wall Street Journal put there. Who do you got? Who's your source? A person knowledgeable?
Yeah. Fish shit is what he is. Apparently, Kim Jong-nam was almost certainly in contact with security services of other countries as well, particularly China's, probably because everyone is worried about the lunatic running the show. Am I right?
Yeah, wouldn't you be? I mean, like, if you were born into North Korea, you'd be doing all you could to get out of there. You'd be like a cat trying to claw out of a bucket in a shower.
They're like, you grew up with them. How was he with Ninja Turtle action figures?
He kept them all.
Did he burn them?
He never shared them.
Did he tear the heads off Barbie dolls?
He always made me use Raphael.
Yeah. No, they're like, what do you think he did today? Play basketball and order a few hits, public murders, and watch them?
Poorly. Yeah. For a guy who loves basketball, he probably fucking sucks at basketball.
He's probably like a 40%
free throw shooter. He is a basketball.
I think he's just jealous because this guy was living the life like outside of North Korea. Like he had like all these like cars. I mean, Kim Jong-un has that inside, but he can't exactly leave the country as free willy-nilly as his brother.
Kim Jong-nam was out of the country.
Yeah, he was out of the country.
Kim Jong-un is the type of guy that lowers the basketball hoop to 8 feet to do a dunk contest and never raises it.
With like, a trampoline.
He still has it at 8 feet. Yeah. Like when you were like 12, he still has it there. Anyways, honestly, this is probably not good for anyone. How is the CIA allowing Trump to go visit Kim Jong-un if they knew Kim Jong-un assassinated him? His brother, for fuck's sake, a year or so ago, because he was a CIA informant.
Maybe they don't like Trump.
Trump meets with a lot of bad motherfuckers.
I know, but particularly he's going into the lion's den. I mean,
right.
You can't be like, hey,
hey, Kim, thanks for taking care of the nuclear sites. I appreciate that. I'm really sorry that the CIA turned your brother and you had to kill him.
Yeah. Like, he's got to be
when they do it in Singapore, I guess.
He's got to be the most stressful president to protect because of the way he shakes hands. He goes in full force with his handshake, which, like, if you're Secret Service, you're like, whoa, chill out, bro. He's leaving himself susceptible to attack. I'm just saying.
Well, to, like, the poison, the nerve gas.
Exactly.
He should. Trump should definitely have a one of those, like, electronic shocks in his arm.
Oh, my God. He's so sweet.
That would be
funny. Prosthetic, too. Prosthetic bigger hand.
He shakes hands so hard he would kill someone if he had one of those shocks. Prosthetic bigger hand. The two women who killed Nam smeared an extremely illegal and deadly poison on his face. They both have been released from their Malaysian prisons in the past few months. So maybe, I guess, that's why we can meet with Kim Jong-un, because we gave him back his best assassins by bribing the Malaysian prisons to get rid of him. I don't know. Just a thought.
Love that. Yeah. Love a soldier being honored at home. I love that.
Also, they're probably definitely piranha food as well.
Oh, my God. Yeah. What's up with this piranha stuff?
It's the way to go.
I heard it was a myth.
If I was an evil dictator, I would definitely consider piranha.
Absolutely. And they are native to South North Korea. Yeah.
Are they?
No.
They're exports. Kim Jong-nam was the eldest son in the current generation of North Korea's ruling family, as I mentioned before. He had been living abroad for several years, as we kind of mentioned before.
As one does if you're born into North Korea.
As one does if you're not dubbed to be ruler and you know you're going to be murdered.
Yeah, you act too stupid to be the ruler, yeah, so you can just do whatever you want.
You have to get
out of there. I heard Germany's nice.
And look, all of those facts and the fact that we've all seen Game of Thrones led Kim Jong-un to have to kill him, because you can't have a the eldest blood relative with a claim to the throne running around.
It's very true.
It's in
a
different country.
It's very true.
Yeah. U.S. intelligence agents concluded Kim Jong-nam was ill-suited to become the ruler of North Korea, as Wes just hinted, because he was just so dumb. So it has to be not that he was a threat. It's probably more of a Godfather style, I knew it was you, Fredo type revenge.
Yeah, Fredo was clearly like a test tube baby. He was real pale, real slight.
A dumb motherfucker. Tell him CIA. Yeah, dumb motherfucker.
Kim Jong-un told his two Asian assassin women to be like, tell him Fredo. As you smear. Say Fredo when you smear his face.
Yeah.
Anyways, apparently also there's a book titled The Great Successor coming out soon. I think actually Tuesday.
Yeah,
it hit the streets. It was written by a Washington Post journalist, and it describes Nam's role as a CIA informant.
This is a good thing for us. It's a spy. It's a spy for us.
Yeah, I know, but this can't be good. This press can't be good. This book can't be good. It can't be good for U.S.-North Korea relationships. What the fuck do you think Rodman's saying about all this?
He's saying, is the check still going to clear? Can I still do weird shit with Asian women? I'm in.
I think he's probably fingering his asshole in a closet in a wedding dress.
No doubt about that.
I don't know.
This guy was so out of touch, though, from what was actually going on, that he really probably wasn't giving them much great information except, like, kind of the weird shit that he would do on a daily basis.
No, for sure. Yeah. I mean, we didn't get – that's my whole point.
Yeah,
we didn't get that much information out of him. But we clearly have damaged our relationship with Kim Jong-un.
Yeah,
which, for who cares?
Rodman's just looking at a Carmen Electra poster, sighing.
Those are the days.
Yeah.
Let's take it to the internet. Howard Chu says, if the report is true, he got what he deserved. And
very true.
I mean,
I disagree, snitch. Howard.
You snitch. Can't be a snitch against a lethal dictator.
Howard Chu, sound like an American name. I disagree.
Anyways, Ignacio Choi says, lots of sensationalist news coming out of North Korea recently, including the one with the piranhas. It's either all true or none of it is. So Ignacio Choice is black or white.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. And then Charles Park says, this sounds more true than the piranhas. So he's like, this one's true. The piranhas are off. Guys, the piranhas is true. Yeah. And then Lee Minjai says, some can be truth and some not. Not all of the stuff can't be true. Media's lie. Not all, but some, and even some trustworthy media get some information wrong time to time.
I'm ditching the check if that's my Chinese food.
What the fuck?
Fortune. Thanks for the headache, Lee.
I'm out. If that's a fortune, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm confused.
I like to believe the piranhas is true. It just makes them that much.
Oh, you know, it's
like,
true.
Yeah. I mean, it's a sweet way to kill people.
Great story.
It's as true as air.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to some stories we didn't get to cover in detail in the lightning round.
You've been on the edge of a lightning bolt, and I do not apologize for that.
Oh, yeah!
Today's episode is brought to you by We the People. Have you ever stuffed your gun down your pants and left the safety off and shot your own leg in the middle or tail end of your professional athletic career? It's unlikely you answered yes to that unless you're Plaxico Burress or Aqib Tlaib. But don't make the same mistake as those two. Get yourself a custom-made micromillimeter fit, perfect We the People holster. We the People holsters design every single one of their unique molds in the USA in Las motherfucking Vegas. They constantly update their designs every month, and starting at $37 a pop, you can afford to get a new one every month to look better than everyone else, although you wouldn't need to because they have a lifetime guarantee. Their unique and intuitive clip design allows for you to easily adjust both the cant and ride of your holster so that it will fit comfortably and securely at all time. Not much to say. Let's ride. If it's not a perfect fit, send it back for a full refund. And oh yeah, they ship for free. Nice. The URL for Hard Factor equals wethepeopleholsters.com/factor. Right now, listeners of the Hard Factor show can go to the wethepeopleholsters.com/factor and enter promo code FACTOR at checkout to get $10 off their first holster. That's as low as $37 and ships free with an additional $10 off using the promo code. Again, that's wethepeopleholsters.com/factor and promo code FACTOR at checkout. Get your $10 off.
Oh, yeah!
So here's a story from abroad that hits pretty close to home, especially for us here in Austin.
From
abroad. Okay. Whatever you want to say.
Talking about a lady or a foreign country?
Abroad.
Still no clarification.
As a man riding an electric scooter was hit and killed by a truck in Paris, and I hate to say it, but this kind of accident is only going to become more and more prevalent as these things are literally fucking everywhere all over cities around the world. Downtown Austin literally looks like the Philippines if Canada were to get sick of their scooters. A little joke for those hardcore fans out there. These fucking things are everywhere, and in Paris they have become the topic of much controversy. In fact, the mayor of Paris, Anne Hidalgo, described the increase in scooters as anarchic because they are literally taking over without any end in sight. They're just... there's no rule or anything to them.
Get off the train, Wes. This is bullshit.
The
scooters are good. They're awesome for everyone.
Scooters are not.
They're
good.
Ridiculous.
The scooters have never affected your lives in any way negatively whatsoever.
The cities look like scooter junkyards right now.
Excuse me. I work in downtown Austin.
Okay. Yeah. So what? Like it makes your commute like 10 seconds longer? Or
no. They block every time sidewalks. I'm on the sidewalk, I get fucking like I have to jump out of the way of these goddamn fucking scooters.
If you're in a wheelchair,
I can't
a cyclist,
stand them. Blind people blind are tripping over these scooters.
You don't care about wheelchairs, cyclists, or blind people.
Well, yes, I do.
I care
of course,
about
I
my
do.
Walking
I think
on
you're
the
just
sidewalk.
Mad because you see how much fun they're having, and you wish you were having that fun. It's joyful.
Maybe.
No, I disagree.
Well, anyway, the latest death is being investigated as an involuntary homicide. In Paris alone, there are an estimated 20,000 electric scooters, and by 2020, they're supposed to be around 40,000, so just everywhere. They're dangerous. If you go out on any night on a busy street in Austin, these things, you'll see a near accident involving these fucking things every 2 minutes. Drunks getting riding in and out of traffic. They just think they're cars. People leave them on sidewalks.
People take these on like the fucking highway, on like a 50-mile-an-hour highway.
Yeah. One study found that 1 in 3 people of those injured were injured on their first ride, and 63% of people who ride will be injured by their 9th ride. So pretty dangerous, although, as Pat said, I did ride one for the first time a couple weeks ago, and they are a lot of fucking fun, but they need to have some more regulations.
All right, Wes, I'm going to level with you. I've always ridden a motorcycle. I'm good on two wheels. I got on.
No, you haven't.
Yeah, my whole life.
You haven't always ridden a motorcycle.
Since I was 16, I always rode. I was a moped and a motorcycle.
Well, I had one at 14.
My point is I'm good at two wheels, and I got on one of those scooters, and I ate
sort
shit.
Of.
I'm okay. I hate shit. They're dangerous, but they're so fun. Justin Bieber, who's arguably Canada's worst export since Michael Cera, challenged America's favorite little guy and my own personal hero, Tom Cruise, to a fight via Twitter on Sunday.
Yeah, Cruise is the man. Fuck Bieber.
He's so good. A lot of you guys might be saying, oh shit, Pat, that's old news. And you're right, but I'm just now coming to terms with this little bucket peer's audacity.
Can you explain that one?
Well, Bieber was backstage at a concert one time and he peed in a mop bucket and then like the janitor had to like take his urine into a toilet. It was really rude.
I peed in a 40 bottle on a Metro train one time. I don't care.
That was a whole other thing. The little fucker tweeted out, quote, I want to challenge Tom Cruise to a fight in the octagon. Tom, if you don't take this fight, you're scared and you'll never live it down. Who's willing to put on this fight? At Dana White. That rhymes.
At Rough and Rowdy.
Maybe he should challenge Orlando Bloom for fucking his bitch and cucking him in every bar he goes to.
Yeah, you keep saying that. I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, Orlando Bloom is just boning the bejesus out of Selena Gomez.
If I had that body.
Just in front of him. Just like,
what audacity, Justin? Tom Cruise is a machine sent from the future engineered to make perfect movies, in most of which he does flawless roundhouse kicks. Meanwhile, if Bieber coughs too hard, his dick disappears for a week. Justin Bieber is the kid you used to invite to sleepovers before you learned about things like pride or humanity. He was the kid that had Sega and Nintendo and would make you ask his mom if you wanted to borrow one of his games, which is the fucking worst.
Yeah, he's also probably the guy that got an entire team of Madden All-Stars and then just changed their names to the actual players on the team.
He was absolutely that kid. Yeah. Meanwhile, Tom Cruise, when he was a kid, he didn't have time for games because he was too busy assimilating to Earth, learning how to perfectly imitate human speech and behavior patterns.
It's true. He's also... going to go to the seventh layer of whatever Scientology is.
By the way, yeah. You know, there how do you argue with a guy that has an NDA that you have to sign to date him? Like, I want that one day.
Is that what Tom Cruise has?
100%.
That's because he's gay.
Well,
okay. Anyways.
That's true. I will take Cruise over Bieber any day of the week.
But he's still way cooler. Yeah.
You ever seen Vanilla Sky?
Yes. All right,
moving on. Zombies, every unrealistic idiot's worst nightmare. Thanks, Walking Dead. We are all familiar with the human form of zombies, but did you know that snakes can be zombies too?
Of course, yes.
Yeah, assumed so. Yes.
No, that's not true. That's actually just as dumb as thinking humans can be zombies. But a viral post calling a snake in North Carolina that appeared to roll over and die, then come back to life, has many suckers thinking that this snake is real.
If you were to say to me,
do you mean the zombie snake?
The zombie snake is not real.
Yeah, what animal could probably be a zombie? I'd be like, snake first.
Deer, snake,
yeah.
Me,
yeah.
Squirrel.
Raccoon. Yeah. Mongoose.
Doesn't exist. Don't worry, we're here to set the record straight that zombie snakes actually do not exist. But what does exist is the eastern hognose snake, a snake which rolls over and plays dead to throw off potential predators. They do not die and come back to life and are actually very harmless and rarely bite humans and are not venomous. So next time someone asks if you have seen the zombie snake, simply respond with, you mean the eastern hognose snake, you moron?
So you mean the Scott Peterson snake?
The Scott Peterson snake.
The security guard snake that when everyone's getting shot at his school rolls over and pretends like he can't do anything about
plays
it.
Plays dead.
You're not talking about handsome Scott Peterson, who's Lacey Peterson.
No. Scott with one T.
Yeah.
Peterson.
Not the murderer.
From Florida. From the high school where 17 kids died.
So handsome.
That just got fired.
Justin Amash, a Republican representative from Michigan, declared his freedom from the House of Freedom Caucus on Monday. What's the House of Freedom Caucus, you ask? It sounds just like it is. It's a caucus of politicians from the House who are pro-freedom. Easy enough.
Okay.
If you're thinking it sounds like a totally necessary and solid use of time, you are right. Who is Justin Amash? Well, he's an extremely right-leaning politician from the soon-to-be-legal cannabis state of Michigan. Hell yeah. Who is the first Republican member of Congress to publicly support the impeachment of Donald Trump.
It's legal in Michigan.
2020, recreationally.
No, I thought it was 2019.
No. January 1st, brand new year. I tried to go into the dispensary and buy weed, and they were like,
"No, it's 2019. You're wrong. It's you still can't buy weed in public in Michigan. Let's clarify this. We're just there. You can't buy or sell weed there, but if you possess it, you can grow 5 plants and you can smoke it in private, legally, recreationally. That started January 1st, 2019.
Thank you for clarifying. I guess what I was trying to say is I went to a medical dispensary and they could not sell to me.
And that's forever. That's still 2020. You can't do that.
Back to my story. Okay. All of his red brothers were like, stop it, Justin. Don't say that. Vote with your party. But Justin was all, I'd do it whether it was a Republican president or a Democratic president. It doesn't matter. You elected me to represent all of you. Justin's unpopular stance amongst his rich white colleagues will surely cost him at least one sailboat. But one less sailboat isn't going to stop this true American from doing what he thinks is right. And I salute you, Justin.
Yeah, we brought this guy up because he was the guy that the one Republican that once Trump impeached. And you know, it's good.
It's like quitting the crew team. It's a tough team to lead.
It's great to stick to your morals, but I think he's insane.
You think so?
Yeah, well, it's not going to do many
losing
favors.
Battle.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, some bad news for myself, and I'm sure many of you out there, concerning your blood pressure. So you know when you go to the doctor's office and they test your blood pressure and it's very high and they say shit like, oh, you must have white coat syndrome or white coat hypertension. Or I warn them immediately saying, it's going to be high. It always is when you fuck strap that thing on me because I know it's going to be high, which makes it high. Well, the white coats don't really matter. Your shit is just high and it should be taken seriously.
I always tell them when they're like, maybe you're a little high. Maybe you should get on hypertension medication. I'm like, well, let's see what happens next time. And then next time, maybe I'll get on the meds.
Yeah. Right.
That was 6 times ago.
It's the alcohol and the fries and the milkshakes
and the cigarettes.
And the stress and the cigarettes and the you bad decision making.
You don't smoke and hate yourself, do you?
And the hatred.
And the fact I'm here. So
you didn't have childhood trauma and drink too much.
And you look bad in underwear.
Yeah.
It's all those things.
So, in fact, if this consistently happens to you like it does to me, you and I may be twice as likely to die of heart disease if we do not take some kind of hypertension medicine, as Pat mentioned, until we inevitably die of heart disease. In fact, one study found patients with untreated white coat hypertension had a 36% increased risk of heart disease, a 33% increased risk of death due to anything, and a 109% increased risk of death from heart disease. So bottom line,
and a 200% chance of being confused when they saw their weight at the doctor's office.
Not changing a goddamn thing.
Must be the shoes, right?
The scale is broken.
You didn't tell me to take my belt off.
Yeah. So bottom line, you should have the same blood pressure, whether you're relaxing at home or at the doctor's office. And if your blood pressure is high at the doctor's office, it's just high and you're twice as fucked. So, you know, enjoy that smoke. It's
that's
not
like,
the white
that's like going to the dentist and being like, I think my teeth get dirty because I'm scared of you.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. That's all this tartar from being scared.
This reminds me of when I asked my dad to quit smoking and he took a drag off his cigarette and said, something's going to kill me.
He said, yeah. He just blew it in your face.
An 8-year-old boy learned that there are consequences for his actions on Monday.
Shut up and steer the car, son.
To the liquor store after his giant unicorn-shaped raft drifted out to sea. Declan O'Connor, who, like every other vertebrae on this planet, had no business whatsoever being anywhere near a unicorn flotation device, was suddenly swept out into the surf by strong winds off the coast of Oak Island, North Carolina.
Why?
Well, when winds picked up, the unicorn's head and horn acted as a sail, carrying the young boy in his dumb novelty boat almost half a mile from the shoreline. Rescue teams...
this death machine?
This is like a lifeguards are looking through their binoculars. Is that a unicorn?
Yeah, rescue teams
is that
noticed...
An 8-year-old on a unicorn?
They noticed that the boy was in trouble, thought twice about it, took a breath, and then reluctantly rescued Declan and his floating abomination.
It's about to be the never living story.
Yeah, the rescue team gave him a life jacket and a helmet, and when he was reunited with his family, another volunteer dragged the unicorn to shore, presumably to execute it publicly in an effort to teach Declan to choose a normal raft, like a baseball mitt or a great white shark in the future.
Yeah, agreed.
This is hilarious. As the only guy on the podcast that has a kid. You fucking, whenever your kid is in the ocean, you just don't take your fucking eye off him. That's for more than like 5 seconds.
Unless he's in a unicorn float, then you turn the other cheek.
No, yeah. Even more so if he's in a unicorn float.
Well, you made a mistake if he's in a unicorn float. And that's going to do it for Hard Factor. Thank you guys so much for listening. Hey, real quick, we love doing this show for you guys. If you could help us out and maybe rate us on iTunes, 5-star reviews, help us spread to other people. It helps us get the word out there. Also, follow us on at Hard Factor News on Twitter, at Hard Factor Mark, at Hard Factor Wes, at Hard Factor Pat, and at Hard Factor Will, and have a great fucking day.
Wait. Also, we have videos coming out, right?
Oh, shit. We were at the Cannabis Cup last weekend. We partied hard. So stay tuned for videos, y'all.
Yeah, you guys look like you had a lot of fun.
Watch those videos. We did.
What did you do?
What did I do?
Yeah.
I worked.
Have a great fucking day.
No, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Okay, now get out of here.
That's a little rough.